The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. And he called the people to him and said to them, "Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." And he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the mouth come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person, Jesus said. His words were deeply offensive to the Pharisees that heard them. The world of these religious elites had just been destroyed by Jesus. You see, they were convinced that obedience to God's law produced righteousness. On the contrary, obedience to the law does not make one righteous before God. God never gave his law to be a means of righteousness. Instead, the law was given to restrain evil in the world. But more importantly, to show that sin is not simply what people do, sin is who people are instead. Acts of lawlessness are but symptomatic of the real problem every person has, child of Adam and Eve, guilty of their sin, and condemned by God accordingly. And that is why Jesus was telling those trusting that righteousness before God is a matter of behavior to think again. The real issue is a matter of being. Washing one's hands, feet, head, kettles, bowls, cups, food, and everything else to obtain righteousness is as futile as appointing a blind person to be a guide. Wash all you want. The heart will remain untouched, churning out evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander, and all the rest. Jesus is telling us that God demands much more than external obedience to the law that leaves the heart unchanged. And to prove his point, Jesus travels to the district of Tyre and Sidon, the epitome of defiled. The land was inhabited by Gentiles, specifically Canaanites, who historically sacrificed their children to the pagan god Molech. Jesus, by his very presence in that place, was defiled according to the law. And by his presence in that place, Jesus was telling us much about God and his law. Jesus is telling us that God is an outlaw, and no matter what the law commands, there is no place and no person off limits to God's mercy, not even a Canaanite woman suffering the demonic oppressing her child. Jesus is also telling us that by his word, God gives what he demands, faith, trust in his promise of mercy, because his word makes trust in what is heard. And from that woman, we hear what faith, resulting from God giving steadfast love and mercy to the undeserving, what that faith does. Clearly, this woman had heard the promise of the gospel, most likely from others who had heard Jesus preach, otherwise she wouldn't have approached him. Plus, she knew exactly what God gives: mercy. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David," she said. And then we hear what trust in the gospel actually does. God-given trust demands that God do what he promises. God-given faith holds God to his word. Just listen to this. "Jesus did not answer her a word," is what we hear. In response, did she walk away? No. She keeps demanding what was promised by God: mercy. Even when God's preachers refuse to preach the promise of the gospel, "Send her away, she is crying out after us," the disciples beg Jesus. But in response, did she shrug her shoulders and say, "Oh well, I tried"? No. The woman demanded that the promised steadfast love and mercy even more loudly, making a spectacle of herself. And finally, a crack is heard in the silence. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel," Jesus said. God's silence is hell. So Jesus is speaking is progress, even though his words are all law and there's no mercy coming out of his lips yet. And in response, did she give up? No. She demands the promised mercy all the more. "Lord, help me," she says. And when Jesus keeps talking, using the law the way God intends, as a word of condemnation, saying, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs," did the woman quit? No. She confesses that the law is right about her. She is undeserving. She is a child of Adam, lawless in thought, word, and deed. But what of it? To such as these, God gives mercy. And that is all that matters. So she reminds God of his word and demands he give what he promised. "You promised mercy to the undeserving, Lord. What's the matter? Am I not big enough sinner for you?" And just so, hoisting Christ on his own petard, the woman got what she demanded. God being true to his word by giving his promise of steadfast love and mercy. "Let it be done for you as you desire," Jesus said to her. Well, I have news for you this morning. Knowing full well who you are and what you've done and left undone, God has chosen to give you his steadfast love and mercy. And that is why I say to you that you are forgiven unconditionally by the Father for Christ's sake. That is your promise from Christ himself. And when sin, death, and the devil attack you, when God is silent and distant, when your experiences in life are the exact opposite of God's promise, you go to the font and you throw water all over the place to remind God of his promised mercy. You come to this altar rail, boldly stick out your Christ-betraying hands, and you don't leave until God's mercy is on your tongue and in your ear. You sit in that pew until Christ's words of absolution go into your ear. You hold Christ to his word. It's for you. He's promised. Amen.